We always talk about the love of a mother, and a mother has great love, and praise God for that, in that she has that compassion that is needed, and the service of her children, and working with that in her husbands. But tonight, being Father's Day, I want to draw your attention to the love of a father. And so we find some examples in the Bible. There's all throughout the Bible in the Old Testament. But I want us to look at the New Testament tonight as we think about a father's love for his family, for his loved ones, his children. And so in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And then you have an example of a woman who just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. But Jesus was on his way to answer the love of a father for his daughter that was sick. He was greatly concerned about this. And as a father, he felt the responsibility of his love and trying to find help for his daughter. Then we find in verse 35 of that chapter, while he yet spake, there come from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" The news that you never like to hear. But here this father, with his faith in Jesus and his desire that Jesus would come and touch his daughter, still had that faith, even though his daughter had died and the news came like a rocket out of just tearing his heart apart. Does he quit? No, his love is strong there. Notice now in verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Here the faith of a father with his love begins to develop very strongly. And in verse 37, "And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he, Jesus, saith unto them, Why maketh ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, put them off, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Tabitha, come. Which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given of that her to eat. Can you imagine now the joy, the excitement of that father's heart? First, he was grieved. He was troubled that her daughter was sick, knowing that she's sick unto death. And then when word came that she had died, before he could get help there to help his daughter, Jesus encouraged him and said, be not afraid, but just believe. We need fathers today who will believe. We have a lot of fathers that do believe, and praise God for them. I know a lot of times we kind of come hard on the fathers in a way, and rightly so, because we have a great responsibility of being the not only the one who provide for our household, but also to be the spirit. Just in many of our churches, we find that some churches are just without men simply because they do not attend. mostly of women that are there. But there are churches that do have a lot of men who do attend. And as I look out over you tonight, I can see a good number of men that are here. As you look at the congregation in this church and begin to look at all that's going on, you'll see that we have a lot of men that are being developed, a lot of men that are exercising their faith in God and taking a lead for their families as well as for our community and for our world. Then we find another example of a father's love, and that's in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We find a father's love for our daughter. Now we find a father's love for his son. Only this time the son has a real problem. We don't know what caused it or what brought it about, yet he is possessed with demons. And this could be about from drugs, from alcohol, from many occasions that might be there. But this was a serious problem in the life of his son. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 17, this father had, taken his son to the disciples, thinking they could take care of the multitude, answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him, Jesus did, and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here unto me." Again, trying to encourage the faith and of those around him that they would simply believe in the power of God. And this father began to develop that type of belief. Notice in verse 20, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child." Not for just a few weeks or a few months, but this father has watched his son suffer day after day. And now, seeing some hope and knowing about Jesus and what was going on in his life and the healing that was there, this father now wants his help. And so we find him. But cast him into the fire. Do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. I don't think really the man disbelieved Jesus. I think he was concerned whether or not Jesus would do it for him. Many of us are in that same place. We know nothing's impossible with God. We know that God can heal all diseases. God can take care of all situations and circumstances. But when it comes to ours, and we're involved in it, it's not a question of whether or not God can do it and heal, but would he do it for me? That's where sometimes we kind of hesitate in the matter of our prayers and wondering about that. And this man expressed this, and then in verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What a tremendous promise. This is not a promise made by some theologian. This is not a promise made by somebody that's had some experience. This is a promise made by the very Son of God. That promise is eternal. It's still valid today. And the man, notice verse 24, "And straightway the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." It touched his heart. Filled with compassion for his son, and that God would have mercy upon him. And with great tears and compassion, he said, "Lord, I do believe." Thank God for fathers who will make a commitment. Our pastor is trying to get us to make commitments, and we'll use different means and methods to get you to commit. Even though we might believe what needs to be done and what can be done, but have we really committed ourselves? Have we really felt the need I mean really with compassion and where it's hurting, as we see those around us that are falling by the wayside, much less our own family. This man, he cried. He had tears. And then his plea was, Lord, and his commitment, I believe, help thou mine belief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And he entered no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. We focus on the miracle that is there, and rightly so, but the Father. The Father is the one that had love for his son and that would stand by his son, one that knew that now the answer would be his belief, his faith. And he wanted that faith. And let me just remind you at this point, how do we get our faith? You know Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By the word of God. How important it is, whether we be a father or mother, or whatever we might be, that we recognize that we need faith in all circumstances. And that faith is only going to come and be strengthened as we are involved in God's holy word. The more of the word that you're involved with, the greater and the stronger your faith is going to be. And this father, with love for his son, moved in that direction and claimed that faith and just simply believed what God had to do. Now look at Luke chapter 15. One that is familiar to many of you, Luke chapter 15. There's much to be said about this father that is there in Luke chapter 15. We find this is the father of the prodigal son. He had two boys. One of them came to him and said, I'd like to have my inheritance early. I think I can run my own business. I think I know how to live the life that I want to live, and I want my inheritance and go out on my own. And he did. And he couldn't live the life that he thought would be fruitful and productive. In fact, it was just opposite of that. He wasted his living. Ended up in a hog pen. Ended up doing things that he never dreamed that he would do. And then as he was there, even desiring to eat the slop that the hogs would eat, he came to himself and realized what he had with his father. Realized that the servants was better off than he was. And he knew that he needed to go back to his father and repent and ask for forgiveness and then to just be a servant. Now that's the attitude of the son after he went through that experience of rebellion against his father. Now we come to the father's attitude, and in verse 20, and he arose, this is the young boy, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now the father taught his son well, but his son didn't pay any attention. In fact, the other son that stayed there, even though he stayed with his father, he had the wrong attitude and had problems with that. Yet the father, he was faithful, and though even knowing that his sons were not doing the right thing, kept an open door so that they could come back home. Now, his father didn't permit his son, the one that went astray, to live a life of sin in the home. He let the son go to experience. That's a hard thing to do. Especially as we have a family and we train our children, we raise them, we take them to church, and we try to teach them the word of God. The day comes, whether to go to college or whether to get a job and begin to make a living for themselves, that you've got to turn loose. And that's a hard thing to do. And sometimes, as you've noticed their activities and what's going on, you are afraid they're going to make the wrong decision. Even though you have told them about doing the right thing, yet they've got to come to the place where they make that decision to do the right thing for him. This one didn't. The father didn't disown him. He still had compassion for him. He was looking for him. And while he was far off, his father saw him. He didn't say, okay, I've got all these rules my son's going to have to agree to when he comes back. No, he had compassion upon him. Look at it again in that verse 20. And the son rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Before the son could say anything, before the son said, I'll behave. Now the father had such. Now the son, in verse 21, said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This statement tells us that the father had taught him the right thing. And many times when we talk about our children and as we raise them in the way of the Lord, and then they go astray, the Bible tells us that they'll come back. The father knew his son would be coming back, longed for that day, longed for that hour, but it had to be a decision of the son, and he had love and compassion ready to receive him. The son made requirements involved in this, and we find that in verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. That was not the idea of the son. He wanted to be a servant. The father said, no, you bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. We have a tendency to say that we forgive. And really we do not forgive. By that, we will have one that goes astray, one that's done things that we do not approve of. They come back, and we're watching them very carefully to see if they're going to do it again, and we'll hold that against them. We do not really give them a chance, and that's not only with the father with the son or a mother with the son or daughter, but it's also with the church. We have people who go astray in the church who for one reason or another decide to go a different direction. And not be faithful with the Lord. And then they come back, and what do we want to do? We want to watch them very carefully and say, well, they're not going to last. That's our attitude. We're going to check them, and we're going to watch every move they make, just waiting for them to make that mistake again. We need to have the same love of this Father, where we're willing to forgive and let God change their lives. The Father knew that God had changed this son's life and was blessed by that change, and encouraged the son in this, and was blessed by that. And so the same with us, as we as fathers. Yes, we're not going to approve of that which is wrong, but at the same time, we will encourage that which is right. And when they go to make that positive step, we'll not be with a critical eye, but with one of compassion and love, and do that with our church members as well. And then we find in John chapter 4 and verse 46, we find a father that has a son that's sick unto death. And so in John chapter 4 and verse 46, John chapter 4 and verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child died. And Jesus, man, believe the word, thy son liveth. And the man now believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. Now, his attitude was, I need Jesus to come and to touch my son. But when Jesus said that you need to just go your way, do you need a sign? And the man was in his actions was saying, no, I'll believe your word. And Jesus said that your son will live. And so he went on his way. And this was put to a test as you come to verse 51. And as he was now going down, the servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Man, this was an exciting thing. What happened to him? He's alive. What did you give him? Certain medicine? What did you do to him? What was done to him? No, he didn't say that at all. Notice what he said now. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. My, what a father. Accepting the word of God, stepping out and believing, and then when it was answered, was checking to make sure this was it and gave God the honor and the glory. We need fathers who not only have compassion and love for their family, but in obedience to God will give him the glory for what he does in his home. I saved the best for the last of a father's love for his children. And that one is found in John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. You know the story, but look at it again. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus is telling the love of his Father, not for himself, but for you and for me. And oh, the love of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've often thought about, well, God knew that he's going to raise his son. He knew that his son would live again. That, you know, big deal. No. It wasn't a big deal. I've often thought about in the early years about Jesus dying on the cross. That's no big thing. He's God. He'll come down. He'll raise from the dead. He'll live again. But it wasn't a big deal for him either. Jesus agonized over dying on the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he called for his apostles to pray with him. And he prayed in great agony. So much that sweat came off his brow as if it was blood, heavy. His soul was sorrowful even unto death. With this agony of Jesus facing your sins and my sins, a holy, righteous God never committing a sin, having our sin, all the filth laid upon him, this wasn't easy. Can you imagine now the Father giving his only begotten son? Regardless of the outcome that might be, that act itself tears at a heart. I cannot even begin to imagine that moment that Jesus was on the cross. And he looked up and he saw something he had never seen in all of eternity. I mean, from before there was anything in this universe, all he seen in the Father was his love for him, his faithfulness down through the years. And now Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was no answer from heaven except what Jesus said in this passage, for God so loved the world. His love for us was so great that he was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son that we might have everlasting life. What a wonderful love and example that he has set for us. But then turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I've shared with you before, and let me share with you again. One of the greatest things that drew me to the Heavenly Father was not just the fact that I would not have to go to hell. I didn't fully understand that as a kid, 9 years old. I knew that I'd done things that were wrong. I knew the punishment of sin, and that was hell, and that I could be forgiven. But what really drew me to my Heavenly Father was His love. He wanted me to be His child. I knew by faith that becoming a child of God, I would have a Father that would love me more than I could ever love myself. Love me with a tremendous sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And this is put out in a beautiful way in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The excitement, the thrill, the joy of knowing we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and claims us. Whatever you might do as a father, and as these men, whatever their jobs might have been, and the other things that occupied their time, their children knew their dad loved them, knew by the compassion and the action that was there. They were not ashamed of their children. One, a daughter that was sick, 12 years old, and she messed things up, it didn't matter. A dumb spirit, daddy loved her. The one that had the son that was possessed by a dumb spirit, that made him like a wild person, a crazy person. Would his father forsake him and put him away somewhere? No. There was that love. That boy knew his father loved him in spite of his father that so might be in his life. The one who made the wrong decision, would his father disown him? Make him as a servant? No. He knew his father had compassion on him. Though he didn't expect it or demand it, yet he knew that his father loved him. Do our children know that we really love them at any cost, any price? Though we might not approve of some things that might happen and that might go on in their lives, but yet our love is there for them, whether it be with our children or with our wives, how that they need to know and see in our lives of our love, and that can only come from knowing the love of the Heavenly Father. That we need to have for our family, it's not a love that we can develop. It's where we allow the love of God to flow through us to them. A love that's a choice and not a reward. Many of us love me, I'm not going to reward. If you do good for me, I'll love you. If you don't do good for me, I'm not going to love you. No, God chose to love us, and we need to choose to love our children, to love our wives. And that's the only way God loves, and that's by the power of God. And so may today on the Father's Day, we continue to recognize and encourage those fathers who will step out in faith and love by choice. Will you love by choice? Will you serve Him? And that's not only true of the fathers, that's true with the mothers. That's true as a church member. Will you choose to love one another in the church and not love them by choice? I mean, by their deeds or reward, but because you choose to love them. What a wonderful union and fellowship we have one with another in the church and in our home when we choose to love by choice. May we stand with every head bowed and every